So Chuck Colson, he wrote this. He said, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured it if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. So the first absolute truth for every believer is this, that death is not your end.
Hello again, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. We are so happy that you're here with us. We're going to dive into the Word, but before we do that, we want to let you know who we are. I'm Pastor Heather Purdue, and this is my husband, Pastor Aaron Purdue, and we are, I guess we're associate pastors at Charis Christian Center, but you're also called the executive pastor because you do a lot of management type stuff. But anyway, we're so happy that you're here with us. If you want to, please leave us a comment and let us know where you're watching from. Let us know what parts of this podcast that you have enjoyed, what spoke to you. Maybe if God speaks a specific word to you or scripture that really ministers to you, please let us know in the comments. We want to know. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast, to this channel. And make sure you share it with your friends. We hope that it blesses you enough to where you will at least share it with one person. That would be great. You can copy the link and you can text it to people.
We're going to have a great time today. We always have a great time. And just thanks for watching. I know we have people that connect with us all around the country, all around the world.
Yeah.
A lot of different generations hop on and enjoy what they're seeing. So be sure to leave a comment where you're from, where you're watching. And, you know, we actually enjoy reading those comments.
Yeah, we go back and check them and respond. So,
it's us that responds,
right?
We're on YouTube and Spotify and Instagram.
Apple Podcasts, Instagram, Facebook, all the things.
Yeah, all the things. So,
all right. So what are we talking about today?
A really big topic.
Yeah.
We're talking about the resurrection.
Yeah.
And, well, really eternal life. A lot of people debate and wonder what happens when you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something beyond this life?
Yeah.
And that's a question that's gone on for thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everyone has thought about it.
Sometimes people only think about resurrection, though, during Easter.
It's true.
But
really, it's the most one of the most essential Christian doctrines. But it was also debated in the early church.
Yeah.
So Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he had to address some people who didn't believe that there is life after death.
Was that the Sadducees?
That was during Jesus' time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when Jesus was ministering, the Sadducees.
Oh, after his death, sorry.
After his death, in the early church. But, yeah, Jesus, same thing. So pretty much all the time people are debating what happens when you die. Is there life after you die? Yeah, the Sadducees said no, and they wanted to stump Jesus. So they took something from the law to kind of stump him.
Trick him.
They said, you know, in the law, if someone is married and they pass away, the wife will then go to a brother. And that is, you know, to make sure she's taken care of.
Yeah.
But they said, well, and this is how people debate. They like bring about the most crazy worst case scenarios.
You know,
I see people, they're like pro-abortion debate, this kind of thing. And they make up like the
scenarios.
Most crazy scenario.
Outlandish.
Yeah.
Like
a 10-year-old girl gets raped by, you know, just like horrible, like, one in a billion chance kind of thing. So that's what the Sadducees did. They said, this guy dies, and then the wife goes to the second brother, and then the third, and the fourth. So just like all seven just die.
What are the odds of that?
And the afterlife, who is she married to? Mm-hmm. And Jesus, like, just, you know,
says, well, in heaven, they're not married. Nor given
they're not married. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he actually just told them, you know, who is God?
Yeah.
He brought it back to who God is. And God, the God that you serve or supposedly serve, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God, he's the God of the living, not of the dead.
Yeah. Sorry, I know I got you sidetracked.
No, you did. But that was a good sidetrack. So, during Jesus' time, people debated whether there was you know, life after death. So the Sadducees, this Jewish sect, said no. So they're probably very left, very progressive for their time.
Also, oh my gosh, I totally just lost my whole train of thought. Oh, yeah, everyone knows that there's something after death.
I think so. And I you know, when I went to college 20 years ago, I'm 38, 18, I met a lot of people from different backgrounds, different parts of the world.
Yeah, this is the story I wanted you to tell. Yeah,
yeah, when I went to college in Pittsburgh, I went to Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and at the time, one-third of the students there, undergrad students, were international students. So people from all around the world, different beliefs, atheists, you know, different religions, yeah, different political, you know, all across the board. But I remember talking to this one guy who was a classical guitar player. Mm-hmm. And I was in a chamber music group with him. I had to do this as a class. But him and me and a violin player and the one bagpipe major. Carnegie Mellon is the one university in America where you can major in the bagpipe. So we did a quartet with the bagpipe major, and the bagpipe professor, who is named Alistair, he's straight up from Scotland, was our coach. And the one thing he would always tell us, he didn't really coach us a whole lot or tell us what to do music, but he always wanted more bagpipe.
He of thought course the bagpipes did, yeah,
were too soft. And the bagpipes, the guy played, because the flute, I play flute, you know, and flute to bagpipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bagpipes blow it out of the water.
Yeah.
Like people go to war with bagpipes, you know, yeah, they're so loud, but they do have smaller pipes that are softer sounding. They're still really loud, but he always thought
we get
the bagpipes
on this topic
needed to be louder. But the guitar player.
Okay.
The guitar player was a staunch atheist. Probably like the first staunch atheist I'd
ever really met.
Yeah, and I've met more since then.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember talking to him about why he believes what he believes, mm-hmm, and it's basically just pure materialist. Mm. Just the only thing that is real is material. So just even things like emotions or language, things that aren't really material, he would just say, well, love isn't even like a real thing. It's just your, you know, a chemical reaction. So he doesn't really even be in love. Like pure materialist. But I remember talking to him and asked him, like, if he had ever lost anyone close to him, and he did. And I said, were you upset? And he said, yeah, I was upset. And I just said, well, why would you be upset? Because you're a pure materialist. Like, everything that you see has an expiration date.
Yeah.
Every single person will
die.
Every single animal, every single pet you've ever had, every tree, every plant. You know, even people who think that way think the world is going to end, too. Mm-hmm. And that's why they get so obsessed with, like, the green earth, because this is all there is.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, as Christians, we have a hope that extends beyond this earth. You know, we want to take care of
the earth,
of the earth, and
everything,
you know, not
that
pollute
belongs
and
us,
not,
yeah.
But we're not so obsessed about, you know, if we destroy the earth, then because we know there's life beyond this.
Yeah.
But even they know, like, there's a chance a meteor could hit the earth and blow us all up, and, you know, and they think in terms of, like, billions of years. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Earth's only been around 6,000 years.
Let's don't get off on that topic.
I'm not going to get off on that topic.
Do you want to talk about flat Earth today?
Well, 6,000 years, you know, some people say that's young Earth. That 6,000 is pretty old.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was driving Fisher to school. We're going to take some
We're taking
side
a big old
today.
side step, but that's
I remember
all right.
taking, this is several years ago, I was taking Fisher to school, and, you know, in his school books, they talk about millions of years, you know, the Jurassic era and this era, and, like, it was millions of years for this rock to form. And he goes to a good school, too, but that's just in a lot of science books. And and he said when the, you know, his second or third grade teacher read this, you know, there were, like, two or three kids that said, that's a lie, you know. The Earth isn't 100 million years old. It's only 6,000 years old. So I know he's
kids from, love to debate, don't they?
Yeah. So I was proud that there's other kids in that classroom that are from families probably similar to ours. But we were just driving to his school, and he lives on the north side of town. And I just told him, you know, 100 years ago, there's like just a few hundred people here
yeah.
in Colorado Springs, but now there's like 500,000 people, and like this road wasn't here. Just think about how fast
yeah.
you know, this city and the entire world changed in just
yeah.
100 years.
Yeah.
But go back 1,000 years mm-hmm. and another, like 6,000 is actually a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And really it is very historic. You know, there's other theories that people add to kind of accommodate for millions of years, like the gap theory and these things. But I'm not really on board with all those. If you are, it's fine.
It doesn't matter. Not a heaven or hell issue.
So this guy, this atheist classical guitar player.
Who's a complete materialist.
But again, this is all they have. So that's why they make religions out of recycling or, you know.
Yeah.
They make religions out of material things. Mm-hmm. I just asked him, you know, why do you think you felt that way? Why do you feel upset?
When somebody he knew died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just that's the one sure thing that everything material does have an expiration date. And he couldn't really answer. But I told him, you know, there's a part of you that is eternal.
Yeah.
That's why it bothers us when we see someone close to us die.
Yeah.
Because when God created
the world and mankind.
He didn't create us to die.
Yeah.
That's the effect of sin. That's the effect of Adam and Eve.
Plunging the whole world into
giving,
sin, basically.
Yeah, and that's just the human nature.
Yeah.
And that's why every single human needs a savior, needs a redeemer, needs Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus ushers in the resurrected power, the resurrected life, which I firmly believe it does. You don't have to wait till you die.
No, I don't either.
To experience resurrection power in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's actually very scriptural to believe that when you receive Jesus, you receive the same spirit that raised him from the dead
mm-hmm.
inside of you. So that when you believe on Jesus and he's your Lord and Savior, his spirit comes in you, the Holy Spirit. And you're given his life.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about why it's so important to understand this. Because even in the early church, people started getting off track and saying, well, there's nothing that happens after you die.
Yeah.
You know, he's writing to people in Corinth, but there's still a lot of this philosophy that's out there in the world. And philosophers, even before, you know, Socrates and Plato, Aristotle, they all debated these kind of things. Some of them thought there's, you know, eternity. Some people thought it's just material. So all that stuff still crept into the early church, and he just addresses it mm-hmm. and just says, yes, the resurrection is real, duh. And he gives some, like, powerful examples, some points that just prove it, and we'll talk about some of these things, but the resurrection is real. So let's just dive into 1 Corinthians 15.
Okay.
This is a great chapter in the Bible. I'm actually going to be preaching here on a Sunday fairly soon. I'm thinking about preaching kind of primarily this chapter.
All right.
So 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read the first few verses because he explains what the gospel is. You've posted some videos that offend people of me preaching or, you know.
Yeah, just yesterday.
Talking that God wants to bless you and people will hop
on
there.
You were referring to Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah.
And if you're unaware, that's the
chapter on the blessing and the curses of the law.
Yeah, and you were saying that it's a curse to deal with poverty, to deal with sickness, to deal with, you know, mental anguish, depression, anxiety, all of that.
Defeat.
Those are defeat. Those are curses. But the resurrection is victory for us, mm-hmm. basically. And so that's what I had posted, this little snippet, and people got very offended.
Well, and people who do get offended, they often, you know, they'll pull things out of context and things that aren't quite related, and they'll say things like, the gospel is this. The gospel is mm-hmm. that you must take up your cross and follow him daily.
Yeah.
But that and that's true. Jesus said that. Like, you do need to lay down your life and receive his life and to do it daily.
But that's not the gospel.
That's not the gospel.
Yeah.
And right here, Paul just says what the gospel is.
Tell me.
Period.
What is it?
So he says this in 1 Corinthians 15. This is great for every believer to know what the gospel exactly is.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things that we believe, but this is what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel.
Okay.
which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. So a lot of people don't know what the gospel really is.
Yeah.
He says, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So you have to hold fast to the word. You have to hold fast to the gospel, to the power of the gospel, to the resurrection power that's in the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to those who believe. And a lot of Christians don't believe in the power of God. They said the power of God ceased in 95 AD on December 1st. Like, show me. The gospel.
It's not ceased. The power of God has not ceased. The power of God has not ceased. No.
A lot of preachers don't even know the gospel. A lot of Christians don't know the gospel.
Yeah. That's okay, because that's what this podcast is for, because we're going to tell you what the gospel is. Okay, go ahead.
So verse 3, he says it right here. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Yes.
So that's the gospel right there. That's the pure, fundamental, unadulterated gospel, that Jesus died for our sins according to scripture. I love that he says according to scripture.
Yeah, me too.
And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to scripture. So in the early church, people started deviating from this very soon. I find it shocking how quick they got off track. Because he even talks about people that saw Jesus in resurrected form, and some are still alive today. They still had witnesses, but people were already denying the physical resurrection of Jesus.
It's amazing to think about.
Even though they're like living witnesses at that time. But he brought up scripture first. He said he died according to scripture, was buried, and raised again according to scripture. So he's saying, first of all, that scripture is a witness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that separates the Bible from every other holy book out there is prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. There's a prophecy in Daniel, the prophecy of weeks, where Daniel prophesies the exact year. You can study it out. Look up Daniel, the prophecy of weeks. He prophesies the exact year that the Messiah would be stricken, and it's 32 AD.
That's amazing.
You know, and this is 4 centuries before.
I love that Paul says according to scripture 2 times, because I feel like in a lot of debates that I get in with people, I'm like, well, the scripture says, like, right here.
Yeah.
You know, if scripture doesn't back it up.
Yeah, and people just pull whatever out of their hat, and they don't even know what they're talking about.
Like, no, they don't.
And I remember just on that little debate where you posted a video of me talking about the blessing, just literally reading the first few verses, 8 verses of Deuteronomy 28, people are like, just read Job. Just read Job. And
I love Job, but you know what? I'm not going to exalt him over Jesus.
Yeah.
Job was an Old Testament guy. Mm-hmm. He lived before the cross, and people always want to live on the opposite side, on the wrong side of the cross. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to get on the right side of the cross, the side where after Jesus died for your sins. You know, Job didn't have Jesus. Job had a skewed idea of who God was, you know, and Job was like one of the oldest books in the Bible. Mm-hmm. He didn't have all the scripture to tell us. He didn't have to tell him about Jesus. To even the prophecies probably were written after Job.
Well, and people don't even understand, like, when people like that don't understand Job either, because it's the devil. It's clearly the devil, the one that robs from him and steals and kills.
Mm-hmm.
But it's God that restores him and actually blesses him.
Yeah.
So when people say, just read Job, they actually want to hold on to curse.
Read the end of Job.
Yeah, God
Please,
shows
read
up
the end of Job.
And tells Job and his buddies to
knock it off.
You basically don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. And then he prays for his friends, and God blesses him and gives him twice as much as he had before.
Mm-hmm.
He was restored through his revelation. That's what I have my little note in my Bible. He was restored through his revelation of understanding who God was. And it wasn't God that took away from him. It was the devil.
So scripture is powerful.
Yes, it is.
And I love here that Paul says Jesus died for us, was buried, and raised again according to scripture. So scripture is the most powerful witness of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on, and I like that he starts with scripture because that is the most important. And you need to study scripture. You need to look at some of these prophecies concerning Jesus, but just concerning so many things. Like even, like I said, there's no way to refute that. There's no way
to refute either people are going to believe scripture or they're not going to. And if they don't believe scripture, there's no miracle. There's nothing.
Well, and this is what I told you about that friend I mentioned, that classical guitar player.
Yeah.
Who's pure materialist. I don't believe in the afterlife. I don't believe in God. I don't, you know, I believe in science.
Anyway.
But I asked him, like, what if, and I actually asked him this question. I remember that, you know, from 20 years ago, I asked him this question. What if you saw someone who had been dead?
Mm-hmm.
For several days, like medically confirmed they were dead, and they got up from the dead. Just hypothetically, if you saw that, someone who had died and medically confirmed, like in the grave, in the morgue for several days, but then they got up, would you believe? Would you believe in God? He said, no, I absolutely wouldn't. So he's made materialism, made atheism his religion.
Yeah, his God.
Yeah, so he'd have to. So, and I'm glad I brought that up because the resurrection is what Christianity hinges upon.
Yeah.
And Paul talks about this as well, but I love that he talks about scripture first. Like, this is a fulfillment of scripture. Scripture is a witness.
Yeah.
To truth, to reality. So it says in 1 Corinthians 15. That he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. So he said he was seen by the 12 disciples. And I brought this up too. I remember seeing this quote just out there on social media, but I thought I should dive into it. So this quote, I remember like thinking about it. And I'm like, I need to look this quote up.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with the Watergate scandal. So I looked up this quote and I kind of studied it out a little bit more. But there was... he was a special counsel to Richard Nixon. And, you know, Richard Nixon was caught up in this Watergate scandal in Washington, D.C. He stepped down from being president. His vice president took over after him, pardoned him right away. But Chuck Colson is this name of the counselor to Nixon. He actually went to jail for 7 months because of his involvement with the Watergate scandal. And while he was in prison, he actually had a conversion experience because, and I love this quote of his, because God took this situation and turned it around and he became a believer.
Yeah.
And later started a ministry, a prison ministry called Prison Fellowship International. Some of the older people at our church
knew exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, because he wrote like 30 books about his faith. So Chuck Colson... he wrote this. He said, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured it if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
Just while he was in prison, he just had this realization.
Not just keep alive, though. Like, most of them died.
Yeah.
For their faith.
So it just made him realize that the resurrection of Jesus actually happened. And Paul says he was seen by the 12.
Yeah.
Those 12 witnesses who, like Chuck Colson and we know, were beaten, tortured, killed, martyred. Many of them. And he goes on, he says in verse 6, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once.
Mm.
500 is a lot of people.
That is a lot of people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
a lot of people, that's a lot of witnesses.
Yeah.
You know, think about things that people debate and discuss and how many witnesses were there for certain things, you know.
Yeah.
500 brethren at once. And he said, of whom the great part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. So he said the majority of these people, so probably 300, let's say, of these people are still alive. But people were still debating that Jesus didn't actually physically die and was physically raised from the dead. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is really wild.
So it says, he goes on in verse 7, after that he was seen by James and by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. So, and he didn't physically see him, but he, you know, on the road to Damascus, he had a conversion experience and Jesus spoke to him.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, I'm a witness.
Yeah.
Of Jesus. I'm a witness of the resurrection. And if you believe on Jesus, if you really believe in him, put your hope in him, you are also a witness of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny the resurrection, and you can't deny the power of it either.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he actually goes on and talks about if you don't believe in the resurrection, and he's talking about, like, for people, you know, who've died,
mm-hmm.
you know, loved ones who are believers who've died, if you don't believe in the resurrection, he kind of explains how terrible that line of thinking, that belief is. And, so I kind of, God spoke to me about it, and I kind of take these negative statements he makes about if you don't believe in the resurrection, and I say, because we do believe in the resurrection,
yeah,
these are absolute truths that we have as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So we can start in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, and it says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So he's saying there's some among you that said there is no resurrection of the dead, just when you die, that's it. You know, you lost someone close to you, that's it, they're gone. Never see them again. So people are saying that. And he says in verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So he's saying you have to believe in heaven. You have to believe in the resurrection of believers, because you believe that Christ is alive.
Yeah.
So the first absolute truth for every believer is this, that death is not your end.
Yeah.
And you have to have that firmly established in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's the fruit of believing in the resurrection.
Yeah, when you really believe in Jesus,
yeah,
and really believe Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and really believe the, you know, the testimony of the early apostles.
Yeah.
When you really believe that, when you really believe the Bible, you're going to believe that Jesus is alive. And
this is not the end.
This is not the end.
Yeah.
So death is not my end. That's the first absolute truth.
Yeah.
Death is not my end.
And this is seven absolute truths for every believer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are great truths.
Yeah.
And they all hinge upon the resurrection.
Yeah.
Verse 14. It says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So here's two things I turned around. Because we do believe that Christ is risen,
mm-hmm.
our preaching is not empty.
Right.
There's a lot of empty preaching out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you hear empty preaching and if, you know, your witness as a believer is kind of empty,
mm-hmm.
you need to go back to the resurrection power. Just think about how profound that is and how real it is, the reality of the resurrection.
Yeah.
My preaching is not empty.
Well, you know what I love about the resurrection is that the Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, because if Jesus was the first one born from the dead, that means everyone that puts their faith on him were also born again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not dead anymore. We're not. And so because of that, we now have the power working in our life. And but the thing is, people have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
People have to know it, but then they also have to believe it. They have to hear it and believe it, or else it's just not going to work.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of believers that don't.
Yeah.
They don't know. Like you're saying, the preaching is empty.
Yeah. And that's why their kind of walk with the Lord is kind of empty, too.
Yeah.
You need to go to a place where the preaching is not empty.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my second absolute truth for every believer is my preaching is not empty.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone come to this church and say Pastor Lawson's preaching is empty or
no.
Pastor Aaron's preaching is empty.
Yeah.
True preaching is full of power. It mm-hmm. is full of the power of God. And we should always preach Jesus.
Yeah.
Him we preach. And true preaching will be backed up by the power of God as well.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to salvation. It leads to healing. It leads to deliverance. It leads to freedom. It leads to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
True preaching. I'm not ashamed of the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. You know, if you're ashamed of things, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
If you're ashamed of healing, you won't experience it. Mm-hmm. And people in that church won't experience it.
Yeah.
If you're ashamed of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
And yeah, and there is a lot of empty preaching out there because I'm thinking about, like, as you're talking about healing and deliverance and salvation and outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I'm just sitting here thinking of all the things that I have come out of,
mm-hmm.
like the things that I've been delivered from, the healings that I've experienced, mm-hmm. and it's through believing. Like, just this week, I had a pain. So I'm doing 75 hard, you know that. I'm on like day 40-something. I don't remember. Anyway. So this is the first time in my life I've ever worked out two times a day consecutively for 40-ish days in a row. Mm-hmm. And my body's not used to that. And my foot got to hurting really bad. Remember this the other day? And I had this really sharp pain in the bottom of my foot. And I had just talked to someone about neuropathy, and we were talking about neuropathy. So I've never experienced a pain like this in my foot before. And I thought, I was really tempted. It hurt bad. I could barely walk on it. And I was really tempted to start thinking about, oh my gosh, what is this? And I was tempted to have these thoughts of, of course this would happen. I've never worked out this many days in a row. I've never went on a 3-mile walk 40 days in a row, you know, outside. And of course this would happen. And all these thoughts were coming into my mind. But then I remembered what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I believe in the power of God. And I started speaking to my foot. And I said, foot, and this was all day. One day it was hurting. And then the next morning I got up and I started to go on my walk. And it was hurting pretty bad. And then, but I just started remembering, no, I have the power of God, the resurrection power of God on the inside of me. And it drives out symptoms and it drives out pain. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to accept anything other than the power of God working in my body. And by the time I got home, that pain was completely gone and my foot doesn't hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. Completely healed. That's what God wants for every believer. Mm-hmm. That's what I want for every believer, is to experience the power of God, you know?
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to my next point. You know, I said these seven absolute truths for every believer.
Yeah.
Because we believe in the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
You know, number one, death is not my end. Number two, my preaching is not empty. And number three, my faith is not empty.
Yes, praise God.
Yeah, some people, it's funny, different words that trigger people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, health triggers some believers. Wealth triggers some, you know, and the word wealth is mentioned quite a bit in Scripture.
They don't mind you talking about spiritual wealth. Like Pastor Aaron, that's not about wealth, like money. It's just about your spiritual wealth. Your
but
spiritual
even the word
well
faith triggers being. Some people, which I think is really pathetic. I remember when I was getting my doctorate, I met this guy who was a campus minister. He was over a campus ministry. And I met him for lunch or something, but I had my Bible and, you know, I was reading when he showed up, but I was reading a book about faith, and it kind of triggered him.
He didn't like that.
No.
Here's the thing. I don't care.
I know.
I don't care. If people don't want to believe it, I don't care. I'm going to believe it.
I thought it was really odd.
And, it is odd.
Anyways, I'm not going to go down that
the faith. My faith is not empty. Yeah.
And our faith is full of the power of God. You know, he said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is risen and I believe it and it is reality. So therefore, my faith is not empty.
Yeah.
Absolute truth number three. Our faith is full of the power of God.
Yes, it is.
It's not based upon human wisdom.
No. Thank God.
Your faith is not just based, by faith we know that God spoke. Like, no one was there to witness
the world being
Jesus
created.
And the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So there's certain things. There's actually a lot of things you're only going to know by faith. Mm-hmm. I'm a very intellectual person. I love to think about things, reason things, want to know how things happen and why, and want to know how people think about things and even look at it from their perspective, just trying to see where they're coming from so maybe I can be a better witness to them.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that you're not going to know.
Yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith.
Yeah. And God, and really, faith is a part of every healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Even for our marriage to work, we have to have trust in each other. Mm-hmm. We have to have faith in each other.
Yeah.
If every minute we just had to prove.
Oh, my gosh.
To each
How
other.
How exhausting would that be?
Or like, what if you had a bad day and didn't prove it? Then that means it's.
It doesn't count.
Faith, that's why God says faith is essential.
Yeah.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Yeah.
So my faith, it's not based upon human wisdom.
Yeah.
And I can reason things. I can think about things. I can look at prophecies in scripture, and I can look at, the historical accounts, and I can look at, there's witnesses. But ultimately, you're going to have to believe it by faith.
There's enough written in the Word of God to help you believe, to make sense, like all the prophecies you were talking about, that prophecy from Daniel a minute ago. Like, there's so many things in the Word that will prove that it is infallible, that it will prove that God is the God, the one God, the one true God, Jesus. But if you don't believe it, then
we were talking about this. Parable of the widow that kept pleading.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, Jesus said this. It's Luke 18, verse 8. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Yeah. There you go.
That's a big statement from Jesus. Will he find faith on the earth? So my faith is not empty. That's the third absolute truth. Let's go on to the fourth one here. So verse 15, 1 Corinthians 15:15. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So he's saying, if in fact the dead do not rise, if in fact there is no life after death, he's saying you're a false witness, saying that you believe on Jesus. He's saying you're actually a false witness to God in God's eyes if you say things like, I don't believe anything happens after you die. But because we believe in the resurrection and we know it's a real reality, you're a true witness. I'd rather be a true witness in God's eyes. You shall not bear false witness. Yeah, I'm a true witness. So even Paul said, I'm a witness of the resurrection.
Yeah.
And he didn't see, he wasn't there.
Yeah, when Jesus was resurrected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But to be a believer, you are a witness of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. You're a witness that Jesus is alive, that he's living in you, that his power is in you, that his life is in you, that you're not just flesh and bones.
Yeah.
But inside you, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and is quickening you, giving life to you. And I feel like a lot of people need some quickening.
Yeah.
Go back to the resurrection.
Yeah.
Go back to what it all hinges on.
Yeah.
Just go back to that. That'll quicken you. That'll get you excited. So going on here, 17. Verse 16.
Oh, 16.
16, yeah. It says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. So he's kind of linking, like, you have to believe in the afterlife. You have to believe in eternity, or else you can't believe that Christ is risen. Verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So
well,
Jesus died for your
anymore.
Sins.
Yeah.
So when he died for you, he was the perfect sacrifice. He washed the sin away. But a lot of people don't understand the full death, burial, resurrection. A lot of people focus on the death side. The way they picture Jesus is dying.
Mm-hmm. He's still on the cross.
He's still on the cross.
Yeah.
That's why I don't, and I love a lot of Catholic people too.
Yeah. Me too. We have Catholic friends.
Yeah. But I don't adopt that symbol as the center symbol of my faith.
Yeah.
Like Christ dying. And it's important he died for us. Because,
it is important. Because but it's even more important that he rose again.
Yeah.
That's the
so
most
when,
important.
So when he died, your sins were forgiven.
Yeah.
But when he rose again, you were given
justified.
You were justified.
Yeah.
You were actually given his righteousness, which a lot of
That's
people
so
don't understand.
Powerful.
That's why a lot of people still say, I'm just a sinner.
Yeah.
Or, I'm just a sinner.
I'm
they
not
don't,
a
they
sinner
don't understand
anymore.
The gospel. They don't understand the death, burial, resurrection.
Yeah.
They understand
I'm dead to sin.
A third of the gospel or two-thirds of it.
There's no victory in that.
There's no victory.
The victory is in the resurrected part. The victory is when he rose again and we were justified and we were given his righteousness. That's the victory over sin. And that was the missing link when I was growing up in my denominational church, that they didn't really focus. Maybe they focused on it and I was just too young to understand. So I don't want to like disparage anybody, but I don't remember learning about that. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't learn about that, I didn't know that I had victory over sin. Therefore, I thought that sin always had reign over me, mm-hmm. that I would never be able to stop doing the things that I wanted to stop doing. Mm-hmm. It's because I didn't understand the resurrection.
Yeah. So these seven absolute truths for believers who really understand the reality of the resurrection.
Yeah.
Number one, death is not my end. Mm-hmm. Number two, my preaching is not empty. Number three, my faith is not empty. Number four, I'm a true witness. Number mm-hmm. five, I am not a sinner.
Yes, I'm not a sinner.
I'm not bound by sin mm-hmm. because I believe in the reality of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. I am free from sin. I am free from the curse.
Amen.
Sin brings the curse. Mm-hmm. And the curse includes sickness, a lot of sicknesses. Read all the curses in Deuteronomy 28. Mm-hmm. Read all of them.
Do we have time to do that?
No.
Okay, go to your Bible and read.
There's like 40 verses. There's a lot of curses. There's a lot of sicknesses.
It's a lot.
I am free from the curse. Poverty is part of the curse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free from the curse. I am a saint.
Amen.
And I can come boldly before the throne of grace. So I'm not a sinner. Verse 18. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So he said, if we only have hope in this life,
yeah.
if you only have hope for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, if that's all you have faith for, or hope for, so that, he says that's really pathetic.
Yeah.
So my sixth absolute truth is that we have eternal hope mm-hmm. and that we have this hope that's based on the resurrection. So your hope can't be extinguished. You're going to hope no matter what. You're going to believe no matter what. You're going to have mm-hmm. faith no matter what, because your hope is based upon Jesus, and Jesus is alive forever and he can't be extinguished. So I have eternal hope. That's the sixth point. So I'm going to read them all again. Number one, death is not my end. Number two, my preaching is not empty. Number three, my faith is not empty. Number four, I'm a true witness. Number five, I'm not a sinner. Number six, I have eternal hope. And number seven, if you believe in the reality of the resurrection, number seven, you can say this with me. I am not pitiful.
I am powerful.
I refuse to have a pity party. The devil wants people to be victims. He wants people to have pity parties. He wants you to just think about your foot that's
hurting,
and am I going to have to cut this thing off someday? I don't know. Is it? Sometimes your thoughts will spiral that far.
My thoughts spiral. You know, I can't be the only one who has thoughts that spiral. Do yours not spiral?
They do sometimes, yeah.
Maybe it's more a woman thing.
I think
than
you can catch it, though. If you can catch it quicker and speak.
Yeah, I have really been practicing on paying attention to the thoughts that come into my mind this year, especially because we have power over our thoughts, the thoughts that we think. We have to know where they come from. Are they coming from God? Are they coming from the enemy? Are they just coming from our own carnal minds? But I don't let them go on as long as I used to
yeah.
because I'm not pitiful. Mm-hmm. I am powerful.
So don't have a pity party. Have a power party.
Have a power party. That's what I did on my walk. And when I got home, my foot was healed.
So and how do you have a power party?
You rejoice.
You rejoice.
You focus on what Jesus did for you when he arose from the grave. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many things. You can get in the Word. You can go to church. You can surround yourself with, go talk to somebody who's not going to baby you.
Mm-hmm. And just give offerings to your pity party.
Yeah.
I don't
join your pity parties, do I?
No, you don't. You say, that's the devil.
I just told you that today.
Yeah.
You said, I'm going to start telling you that when it's the devil. I wish you would.
Maybe I will.
Well, good. Maybe you should. All right. Anyway.
So those are the seven absolute truths for every believer who really understands, believes, walks in the reality of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a powerful thing. And I want to leave people with this concluding verse, Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you,
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Talking about your life here on this earth, you can experience that resurrection power right now.
Amen.
He will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Yeah.
Right now.
I was actually quoting that when I was on my walk.
That's awesome.
I was. The spirit of Christ lives in me. And the power of God is quickening my body, mm-hmm. driving out all symptoms, all pain, all disease. Mm-hmm. And my foot was completely healed. You know what? If he'll do it for me and my little foot, there's nothing too big for him. Mm-hmm. But it's all according to what are we going to believe? What are we going to say? You know?
Faith is essential.
Faith is essential.
It is.
Well, that's awesome.
That is great. Well, I think we've wrapped up
Pastor Aaron.
Our topic for today.
Yeah.
Which is a big one.
It was a very big one.
And if people struggled with it during Jesus' time, and if people struggled with it in the early church,
yeah.
wondering what happens when you die, I'm sure there's people watching this right now who maybe been to church their whole lives, but kind of struggle with,
yeah.
you know, is death the end?
And the enemy is going to constantly come at you trying to question all of these. Mm-hmm. To you, to me,
yeah.
to you watching, like all of us, he's going to say, you know, well, are you sure that you experienced the resurrection? Because are you sure you're really a witness? Are you sure the power of God's going to work for you?
Are you sure you're not still a sinner?
Are you sure you're not still a sinner? No, you are sure. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to remind him, the devil. You got to remind yourself too.
Well, be sure to subscribe. Mm-hmm. To the channel here, to the show.
Yeah,
the
yeah and if podcast. This blessed you, let us know in the comments. We love hearing from you. So we That's like true. To be in your business.
And yeah, thanks for listening. We took some interesting little side trails.
They were good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So be sure to watch some of the other shows. We try to come out with around one every week.
Every Monday, usually.
Every Monday. And but if you're new and just caught this one for whatever mm-hmm. reason, like watch some of the others. We cover a lot of great topics. But also, you can go to our church website and mm-hmm. find more teaching there. We have just great resources to help people grow. You can go to CarisChristianCenter.com to do that. And if you're a regular, you know, part of what we do here. Thank you. And maybe consider giving a donation to the church. The church actually is what funds this podcast. So mm-hmm. We love you guys. And thanks for joining us. And we'll see you again very soon.